this morning. We have a real treat today for both for this class as well as for the sermon. But I don't want to steal Hunter's thunder. He's going to introduce. He's going to introduce our speaker. First, I just want to introduce Hunter, which seems kind of odd because we all know Hunter. But the Hunter that we know, he's not just one of us. He just happens to have an address in China. Hunter's there teaching teaching English, and I'll never be able to pronounce the name of the university, but I know the city is Jingzhou. Did I say that right? So I don't know that Hunter has a deep desire to teach English. He does have a deep desire to share the gospel, and that's a means to an end. So and Hunter will be leaving to go back to China on the 15th of this month. So we want to be praying and praying hard for him, both for his safety as well as for his mission. Hunter is going to introduce our speaker, someone that they've bonded, and he will tell you exactly why.
Well, Don is right. You're going to be in for a good treat this morning. Ron and his wife both were teaching in China, my same city, Jingzhou, for about 4 years. They were on a different campus, but he taught and his wife taught for about 4 years, and they did a lot of good work there, and they come back to visit us all the time. About twice a year they come to visit us, and we know they did a good job because people who are still there are eager to see them when they come, especially our brother, Mr. Wong. I'm sure you'll hear some stories about him. But so just like to introduce you, Ron McFarland.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. It's wonderful to see Hunter. He does a wonderful job. He is teaching at Changjiang Dashui, which probably means nothing to you. It is Yangtze. The Yangtze River is the second largest river in China, and the university sits on the riverbank, almost literally. And so it is a very nice place. We lived there 4 years and had a wonderful time teaching and living there. So it's our hometown in China. I want to begin with a prayer with you, if you will join me. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here with brothers and sisters and share information about your work in China. I pray for Hunter as he returns, and thank you so much for the good work that he and all the other teachers are doing in China. Thank you for this church and all the churches in America who back and support missionaries to China, to Africa, to Europe, to wherever in the world. We thank you for the heart that causes them to go and share the gospel. We pray your blessings on us today as we think about our mission for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you about the mission to China. Our mission to China is to share the gospel with people. This is, I'm technologically challenged here, so especially when I'm dealing with new equipment. What have we got up there? Oh, there it goes. Okay. It just doesn't tell me it's there. These are some of the people. I say greetings from your family on the other side of the world. These are some of the Chinese students that came to live with us, and then a group that met at our house on Sunday morning in our apartment for a Sunday worship, and we took the picture after that. This may run through a lot of slides since I tried three or four times to get it to go. The challenge before us now is to share the gospel with the people of China. You may know that China is the most populous country in the world, and India is number two. Does anyone know who is the third most populous, largest population in the world? I was surprised. America is the third largest population in the world. Uh, I'm not sure what you see. Okay. It says, okay, it's building. I got you. All right. Have you heard there are a lot of people in China? Let me try to help you a little bit. If you were to take all the people from South America and ship them to the moon, and then, did we do it? It didn't. Cool. Okay, we'll try this one. Okay. And if you took all the people from North America, we're running this on a different foundation that I built it on, so I don't know what we're going to get. We'll see. Okay. All right. If you shipped everybody to the moon and then went to China, you could repopulate both continents by moving people from China to their current level. Then there would still be more people in China than there are in America. And so when you say 1.4 billion, it's just a number you can't get your mind around. But when you realize you could replace every person in North and South America with people from China, and still we would be the number three country in the world, China would still have more people than we do. You get the idea, there are a lot of people in China. I have ridden on the bus with half of them, about a third at a time, it seems sometimes. I counted once, there were 28 people. I was standing by the fifth seat on the bus, there were 28 people between me and the driver. If you do not like to be touched, do not ride the bus in China. Okay, because they will squeeze through. If there's this much room, they will go through. Even, I'll start to say they're as big as I am, but I never saw anybody in China that big. But if they're hunter size, they'll get right through. And you'll just be amazed. But it is a huge job to share the gospel with the people of China. I hate to keep looking back, but I'm not quite sure what I'm seeing up there. It is also a huge opportunity. I heard a story once about the shoe salesman who was two salesmen sent to Africa to sell shoes. They got there and one of them immediately sent a cable back home. Get me out of here. This is hopeless. Nobody in Africa wears shoes. Second one sent back another cable and said, fantastic opportunity. Nobody here has shoes. Your challenge can sometimes be very different when you have a different view of things. This is a group of the people that were trained at one of our training. We have 2 weeks of training for new teachers. This is a group that we trained last year that was just finished their first year in China. The couple on the right are from Alaska. We were up there on a working vacation. I have spoke at two churches one Sunday and two the next. And that gave me a good reason to go to Alaska. And the first Sunday, we were at Wasilla, and I said to someone, while we're here, we want to go fishing. Can you tell us a good place to go? And they said, oh, you're lucky. This is the best week to come to Alaska to go salmon fishing. And I looked at them and said, why do you think we're here this week? I knew when to come. I just didn't know where to go. But while we were there, we had a chance to share the gospel, and we had 30 people from those churches in Alaska that asked for more information to consider going. And this young couple, new Christians, were teaching out in a village where there are no roads, about 350 people, and they are now finishing their first year in China and will be going back this fall. This is another group that we taught at the other park. I want to show you this video for about 3 minutes here in just a minute. Shai Ching is a young lady who is now a Christian, and she is telling in this video her own story about learning about God. She calls it My Search for God. She mentions a teacher in this video named Katie. Katie is one of our China Now teachers. China Now is the name of our ministry. It was begun by Benny Mullins down at the Spanish Fort, Alabama Church in 1993. So we've been doing this a long time, though most people have never heard of it, because we do not wish to call too much attention to it. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I want you to hear Shai Ching's story, and I'm going to sit and let you listen to that. Okay, you work on it. If you get it to go, and you let me know, and I'll sit down and let them do the other. Can you put me back on the PowerPoint? Okay, while he's doing that, let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, the reason most people don't know about our work in China, and what we do, China does not allow you to come as a missionary, but they are very eager for you to learn English. You'll see more of this in the slides in just a minute. And if we will come and teach English and then quietly share the gospel in our apartment, we're allowed to do that. They're fully aware of what we're doing. However, it's very important that we not cause their officials to lose face or be embarrassed by doing public advertising about the fact that we send English teachers who are missionaries. In the China Daily newspaper, they said they know 70% of the people who come to China to teach English come because they want to do missionary work. So, brother, you can just scratch that video, okay? Because I don't want to spend the whole time doing it. If you got it ready, run it. If not, let's scrap it. Okay.
Most Chinese people are atheists, and so was I. I started to know about God around the age of 9 through my mother. Even though I knew about God, I didn't know about Jesus. My mother had told me about God, and she even asked me to pray with her. When we prayed together, I didn't know what I was doing or why. It was not something that I made a part of my life, because I was doing it for her, and my faith never developed. All through middle school and high school, I was taught that there was no God. My fellow classmates and I simply accepted Marxism and the idea that evolution explained where we come from and that there was no need for a creator. When I began attending college, I knew there was something more than I could see with my eyes. I began thinking and searching for meaning in my life. My sophomore year, I was walking on campus and met an American teacher named Katie. Being an English major, I wanted to practice my English, so I approached her. I asked her typical beginner questions like, what's her name and where are you from? That quick exchange began a deeper relationship that would eventually bring me from darkness to light. As our relationship grew, I began to see things in Katie's life that were different from other people that I knew. She would do me favors without expecting anything in return. And when we would eat together, she would pray and thank God for his blessings. These things had a tremendous impact on me. I began to think that Katie might be able to help me with my search for meaning in my life. She gave me many books to read that helped bring me to a better understanding of God, like The Case for Christ and Mere Christianity. At those Bible studies, I was able to meet some Chinese Christians. I could see that Christ had impacted their lives in a way nothing else could, and I wanted that. In March of 2010, I was baptized and began my life as a new creation. Sometimes I think about my life and where I would be if I didn't know Jesus. I look around and see so many people chasing after things that won't matter in the end. They look at their lives and think everything's okay, but the truth is, it isn't. Most of them have never heard about Jesus, and they don't realize they're lost. I feel that they shouldn't be deprived of that right. God said that we should love others as he has loved us. I want to tell others about the love of Christ, but sometimes I feel overwhelmed at the huge population of the non-believers in China. Even though it is a difficult task, I know that if God is for us, then no one can stand against us.
Okay, thank you, brother. Can you get me back to the PowerPoint here? Okay. The Chinese government people know that we're sharing the gospel. We had a policeman that contacted one of our friends that came and studied with us and said they wanted to come and talked to him. And I won't tell you the whole story, but they were very considerate. They actually took him to lunch because they didn't want to frighten the landlord by having four policemen show up to question his tenant. And they said afterwards that he was very honest with him. He wasn't hiding anything. I told him, tell them the truth. Just don't volunteer any more than they asked for, but tell them the truth. The policeman wanted to come to our meetings. And so Lee told him fine, and I told him fine. So for seven sessions, the policeman came and sat in our study, and it was obvious to me who he was, but the students didn't know. They sent the young one that looked like a student. And he said that when he left and quit coming, he said, there are many problems in China. This would be good for Chinese people. They may not share faith, but they do care very much about the values that we teach. I can't see the PowerPoint here. Can you get me back to that? Okay. Can you get me back? I can't see what's happening here. Can I give you this and let you work, see if you can fix it? Hunter, would you hand that back to him? Okay. If you just have a push button, if you just have a push button that I can use to advance it, that would be fine. Anyway, they wanted to know that we're not trying to take advantage of the students, that we're not trying to use them to stir up unrest in China, that we're not trying to take money from them. Foreign teachers are celebrities in China. And so they just wanted to make sure that we were not in any way abusing our relationship. And then they were fine with it. So we've been sending teachers to China since 1993. We've sent more than 750 teachers to China so far. Evelyn, I need you to go to the car. I think you gave me the key. I need my black soft-sided thing, if you can find it. I think you still have the key. I don't have it. Okay. It's a soft-sided one. It has some material inside. I forgot to pick that up. The students are welcome to come to our apartments and read the Bible and study and learn about God. So we have them come. We would have in our apartment as many as 25. We don't encourage people to have that many now because the government likes to keep groups meeting with foreign teachers small, and then it works very well. Okay. Do you have an advanced thing? If not, I'll just point to you, but I need to move on here. Okay. Can you keep it from just running through automatically ahead of me? Okay. Let me see if I can back it up. I'm not sure. Okay, here we go. I don't want that one. Okay. We say that the Lord's opened a door. We may be a back door. We go in as teachers, but we're able to share the gospel. But at least we have a door, and I'm reminded of this passage in Revelation where the Lord said to the church there that I have opened a door before you that no one can shut. So we have an opportunity to do that. China's not closed to missionaries who come as English teachers. I've already told you that, so I'm kind of going to buzz through this a little bit. They're very eager for us to learn, have English teachers, native English speakers come. About 30 years ago, China decided that Russia was not the future of the world. They quit teaching everybody Russian and started teaching everybody English because they wanted to become a player in the world financial stage and business. And they knew English is the international language of business. So they want everybody to study English now from at least the sixth grade up, often even from kindergarten. They're teaching oral English to the students. We do not need to speak Chinese because we teach almost exclusively English majors. So we don't have to know the Chinese language to do that. In our apartment, though, we have a surprising freedom to share the gospel. We cannot use the Bible as a textbook in the classroom, but there are occasions on which we have an opportunity to share some things from Scripture. We can always talk about biblical proverbs, good principles of life, character qualities, that sort of thing, that open the door for them to think about something besides getting rich and making money, which is nearly the singular purpose of almost every Chinese student. They want to get rich and make a lot of money because they feel that the definition of a good life is a lot of money so you can buy whatever you want and you don't have to worry about how to pay your bills and get along. And so, but some like Xia Qing, when they come to university, they begin to think and they begin to say, what's life all about? Is this it? Just live, get rich, and is that it? What's the purpose of life? They begin to ask these questions, and that opens a great door. So us using opportunities like that to surface spiritual values and the meaning and purpose of life have students often to come to us. Also, we have no need to be shy about our faith. We would always begin our classes by introducing ourselves and telling our students that we're Christians and God is the most important thing in our life. And so they knew that from the beginning. They would begin to hear, we don't push the class to come study with us, but anyone who shows interest or has an opportunity, we will invite them. So in our class, though, because Chinese people love America, they love everything American. American singers, American movies, American clothes. You understand, I got my information about China when I was in high school back in the olden days. 1960s. It was the days of Mao's Little Red Book and the Cultural Revolution, and people were traveling in rickshaws pulled by other people. So when I started to go into China, I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect it to be exactly like that, but I expected it to be somewhat like it, all of them wearing peasant garb or military outfits, that sort of thing. I get there, and everybody dresses in Western-style clothes. Starbucks, McDonald's, Walmart, these things are everywhere in China. It's a very modern society. Cars are going up and down the streets. They're selling more new cars in China now than we're selling in America. Some of you may have been surprised when General Motors got in trouble and they closed Pontiac and kept Buick. The reason they did is because they sell more Buicks in China than they sell in America. And so it's a very different world. It's very modern. But they love everything American. And so American holidays are also popular. Christmas is huge. They will have huge Christmas trees in the stores. They blare the music out. We went to a shopping street, bought a Christmas tree, everything we could possibly lay out, put on it, and took it home and had a Christmas tree in our apartment. Students came to decorate it, and they were so excited they'd never decorated a Christmas tree before. They'd seen them, but it's all a commercial. The merchants want to sell things. There's no religious thing, and they don't know the background to the American holiday. So at Christmas time, we practice, and our mission is teaching English, is to help them learn to speak Old English better. So we practice, and they are accustomed often to practicing in unison orally. If you were to say to an American college class, we're all going to read this in unison aloud, the students would probably all revolt and leave the classroom. But they do that all the time. So for our Bible, our English study that day, we told them a little bit about the background to Christmas. And I told them nobody knows when Jesus was born, but this is what the background is for Christian people that have an interest in him. So we would read aloud the story of the birth of Jesus. And then at Easter, guess what we did? We read aloud the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They've heard of church, Bible, God, Jesus, but they don't know much about what any of those really mean. Now, there are churches in China, officially approved, sanctioned churches, and they have big buildings, and they are approved by the government, and they meet quite openly. There are many, many more, millions of believers in China who do not go to the government-supported or approved churches. They go to what we would call house churches. They're not secret, they're not underground, they're simply not approved by the government. The government's well aware of them. Some of them will be 10, 15 people. Some of them may be 200 or 300 people. Sometimes they even go into their community and erect a building for them to go and meet in. And the government knows all this, but they are not approved. So it's important for them to just do what they do quietly. And if they do it, they're often given an amazing freedom. So we have a chance to share with them the details that most of them have never heard. 95% of our students told us they had never seen a Bible before they came to our apartment. They come from families where for three generations, Their grandparents may have been Christians, but their parents and their generation have for now 60 years been taught by the teachers there is no God. You don't need special skills to do this. If you're a native English speaker, it's not hard to do. You don't need any teaching experience. We teach the future leaders, people who are going to influence the culture and the government and sometimes international affairs are people whom we have a chance to teach and have an influence on. Christian students can do what we cannot do. We cannot evangelize China. We teach a very small set of people in China, university students who are English majors. There are millions and millions of people in China who speak no English. We cannot communicate with them. They are places and cities that have no universities, so we will not have teachers there. But these Chinese students will learn the gospel, and then they will scatter out all over China and go to work in different cities where they can communicate in Chinese to people who cannot speak English. It is the people we teach who are going to have the opportunity to evangelize China. We are planting the seed, and they are going to spread that seed throughout China. This is Li Hanjing. I'll tell you a little bit more about him later. He is baptizing one of the students in one of the bathtubs in one of our apartments. Wang Ho Chang, you mentioned earlier. You'll hear more about him later, so I'm going to pass on over this. This is Wang baptizing Mr. Zhao. Mr. Zhao was 73 when he was baptized. Because in Jingzhou, we have been able to meet some English teachers, we've also been able to meet some people in the community. And I'll tell you the story about Wang later, but he had no connection with the university, but he became a Christian, and then later he taught Mr. Zhao. Mr. Zhao's son has been a Christian down in Guangzhou for about 25 years. When he found out that we were from Jingzhou, which was his hometown, he put us in touch with his father. And Wang Ho Chang went and taught him, and he became a Christian and has been a dedicated leader and has brought other people to the church as well since then. This is the house church that meets at Wang's home now. They've been doing this now for about 6 or 7 years. About 35 or so of the Chinese people who speak little to no English, and we go and visit whenever I'm there. I know them. They know me. We smile and look at each other and translate a little, but we feel very close to those people. We love them. Mr. Zhao speaks no English, but he's a dear friend. This boy, the long and short of it is, his name is Michael. You see that little spot on his head? Half of the boys in China were named, they choose an English name, by the way, their mothers don't name them Michael. But who was that singer that died a few years ago? Michael guy. Okay, we were here with a bunch of old people. Who was the big basketball player that retired? Michael Jordan. And you've got Michael Jordan. Who? Yeah. And you got in their TV program, one of the most popular programs, The Stars, Michael. So about half of the boys had chosen Michael for an English name. So he called me one day after we were there for a while, and he said, Mr. Ron, this is Michael. And I said, great, which one of the 16 Michaels have I met are you? And then he said, I'm the one with a spot on my head. And I said, now I know who you are. So I put him in my phone, Michael Spot. I now know his English, his Chinese name is Li Wei. He's a dear brother, and he is now a Christian. I'm telling you here, our commitment is for one academic year. Near the end of the year, they'll come and ask you, would you like to come back and teach again another year? And that's why Hunter's going back soon. And people go for 1 year, but many stay much longer. And this, I think, is going to run automatically here for a minute and let you see the length of time that a number of people who've gone to China have stayed. This is the teacher's choice. We don't harass anybody or twist their arms or anything. We encourage them and help them. If they choose to stay longer, then they can be a wonderful blessing. We have about 85 teachers in China this year. And the number will vary from 85 to 100 from 1 year to the next, depending on how many people come home or go back, how many new people we have going and all that sort of thing. But there are 85 people in China right now doing ministry work that went with China Now at some point in the past. Many of these people are still there. Some of them are there. In fact, all three of those on that page are still working in China. This is some others. I thought he would advance on. Okay, what's required here is pretty simple. A desire to share the gospel is the first most important thing. Second thing, you have to have a bachelor's degree. Can be in any subject. Does not need to be in English or education or anything like that. Just a bachelor's degree qualifies you to teach at the university. There is required some training for teaching English as a second language, which we provide to all of our teachers that are going. And then to be available. And I don't have time to tell my story, but there was a young man who wanted, his family all wanted to go to China, and he said, I can't go. I work at a post office, been here 24 years, I can't leave my career. The long and short of it is, he went in and asked for a leave of absence. It took him 6 months to get it approved. They gave him the leave and said, no one has ever done this before. We had to create new procedures and had to go up four levels of management to get it cleared. He went to China with his family and spent a year there in ministry work. So available takes a different meaning now to me, depending on how determined and how much heart there is in going. Available people sometimes are not folks that I would have thought were available at first. Here's the surprising thing. China pays you to come. When people go to China, they pay round-trip airfare. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can get through this quickly. Round-trip airfare, they provide a furnished apartment, and they pay all the utilities, and they give you a monthly salary satisfactory to live in China very comfortably. And if you are frugal a little bit, you can save money and be able to actually bring some money home with you. Some couples live on one salary and save the other one. You're not going to get rich working in China. This is simply to say that for most people, not everyone, everybody's situation is different. Some people have large student loans. We really discourage people with student loans from deferring them. They can, but if they do, there are two repercussions. Number one, they owe more when they come back than when they went. This seems hardly fair. The other thing is, just like one brother told me about 3 years ago, I'm not going to be able to come back next year. I told the university yesterday that I won't be here next year. And I said to him, Fred, I'm sorry to hear that. What are your plans? He said, I don't have any plans yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, why are you going back? And he said, I have student loans, and I didn't raise the money to pay them, and I can't pay them on my salary. I said, if it weren't a money issue, would you want to come back? Oh, yes, he said, sure. I said, well, you go tell the university tomorrow you repented, you'll be back. He came and spent some time with me. We helped him. He is now finishing his fourth year in China. Because if people defer student loans, we often lose dedicated workers who now have a year experience because they didn't think about that if they defer them, next year they can't. Now they've got to do it. So we discourage that and encourage churches supporting them to see that they have enough funds. If they need to raise some extra money, fine. It's the biggest bargain in mission work anywhere in the world. I'm delighted to hear that you guys support missions in Mexico and other places around the world. That's wonderful. Well, this is a very unusual opportunity and situation. Most of the people who go to China were not planning to be preachers, never planned to do foreign mission work. They found out they could go, teach English, share the gospel, and that China would pay most of it so they don't have to raise a bunch of money. And now they say, hey, I can do that. It's that raising your full support that frightens so many people away from the idea of doing mission work. So this is a very unique opportunity, both because of the people and because of the financial arrangements. And we're thankful that China contributes more than any other single entity, about $1 million a year they contribute to our teachers being there to share the gospel. We can't match that with any fundraising opportunity in America. What we do in helping is to inform and recruit. That's what I'm doing here, to let you know. I'm looking for people, and we're trying to find people to go to China. I'm going to pass out a sheet. I'm not going to do this now. I'm going to do it at the next service so that everybody gets a chance to request this. But we have a newsletter that you can fill in. These are teachers at training. I'm going to buzz through some of this. There are things that are required that we help with. What we do is to look for people to go. We train them. We help them with all of the legal paperwork and all the preparation that needs to be done. When you go to China, we do not send you. We take you. One of our teachers, our leaders, always travels with new teachers. They make sure they get to the university. Then the university people get them to their apartment and help them get settled in. The other teachers that are nearby, because there's always a group, will come and they will also be helpful. So you're not alone in this. What do we need more than anything else is more people who will answer, "Here am I, send me." I'd like to show you a lot more of this. I think it will run, and I'm just going to let it go. But we have about 2 or 3 minutes. If you have a question, I'd like to be able to give you a little time to answer questions. I'm not sure where to point this thing. Here we go. All right, I think this part will run by itself, and you can watch. Different age groups and people that go. Anyone have a question quickly that you would like an answer to? I'll try to do that for a minute. I don't want to run you over, make us late. Okay. Thank you so much for letting us come. Fred, by the way, is in the middle of that picture. He's the one that's finishing his fourth year now. When I met him, he was riding I called it a surfboard. He called it a skateboard, but he was a student at Fried Hardeman. The board was about as long as he was, and he was trying to get his California surfing in on his skateboard. This couple I will work with in China next week, or in Arkansas next week. They were in China for 9 years, and they have 2 children. I love the picture that he gave me, made in China. Okay, thank you so much. I'll tell you some more about some of the individuals during our worship time. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Please pray for missionaries all around the world. They may live in peaceful situations, but they're still leaving families behind, keeping their children separated from the grandparents, which makes neither one of them really thrilled. But that's part of the sacrifice that they make. And they have challenges living in a foreign culture. Pray for missionaries all around the world, that they can find ways to reach people who live in a different culture. Pray for our ministry in China and that we can find more people who are willing to go. And especially, please, pray for the Chinese Christians. They are much more likely to suffer persecution and hardship than we are. They would not arrest us if they didn't like what we were doing. They would send us home. They would not arrest us. We've had 750 people go. We have never, ever had a teacher sent home from China for sharing the gospel in 24 years. That meant. So I want you to know Hunter is safe. You don't have to worry about him being stuck in a Chinese prison somewhere. Thank you for letting us come, and I'll see you again in a few minutes. I'm going to do those next time. I thought about it, and I realized I said I'm going to do it next service. So.
I fixed you up sign-up sheets. You got 2 different ones.
We're probably going to need 4, but...